Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kif Samach Ches. We're holding roughly 8-9 lines, 10 lines from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara is quoting from our Mishnah. As you recall, we learned in the Mishnah yesterday about various shtarois, who can commission the writing of those shtarois, and who has to pay for them. So the Gemara now quotes, V'abal loisin tzchat. The Baal pays for the writing of a get that he is going to be giving Chas V'Shalom to his wife. My time. Why does the Baal have to pay for it? Because it's in the Pasuk, V'kosa v'nosan, that if Chas V'Shalom, a marriage terminates, and the husband wants to give a get, V'kosa, Shteitin Pasuk, V'kosa v'lo, Sefer Karisus. He has to write the get. Since most people are not competent to act as Sofrim, so you have to go and appoint a Sofer, like a Shliach Shalom Kamoisei. So therefore, since it's incumbent upon the Baal to do the writing, and therefore to get the Sofer, he's got to pay for it. And that's Menatoyim. However, the Gemara tells us we're in it today, on a practical level, to lay of Din and Hachi, we don't force the Baal to go and pay for it. We say to the Isha, why don't you go and pay for it? Why do we do that? We go and put this financial burden on the woman so that she should not become an Iguna. Unfortunately, since the trader requires the husband to give it a get, and she has no say in the matter. She cannot go and terminate the marriage. Therefore, unfortunately, there are husbands that are difficult and recalcitrant, and she's going to stay there as an iguna forever. Not iguna in the sense of that she is not married, that she is married, but married to a very difficult character who presumably is not living with her. And therefore, Rashbam refers to that she's being nisage, what we call today an iguna. So we don't want that to happen. Therefore, we say, you know what? The best thing is you should go and pay for it, and then the husband won't say that he has a financial burden. This will take away that excuse. He'll give the get, and they will be putter from each other. Says the Moravita. Says the Mishnah, Koisin shtar lo loiv alva bisha in mal ve'imoy v'chuli. Whenever you see the v'chuli, 99% of the time, the next Gemara is going on the v'chuli, because the Gemara is not talking about the fact that the loiva can write out the shtar halva without the malva, but rather who has to pay for it. And that's the v'chuli in the Mishnah, where it says that the loiva has to go and pay for the writing of the shtar milva. And of course, says Imar Pshita, who is getting the benefit of this halva? Only the loiva. The malva is not getting any benefit. He's getting a mitzvah, but he's not getting any financial reward, a financial benefit. He's now going to go and charge ribbons, for instance, and if he has to go and pay for the shtar, he's going to say, you know, Malve Tzor Hazai, so what do I need this for? The loiva, go somewhere else. So rather, the loiva has to go and pay for it. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? And more like tzricha b'iska. We're not talking about a straight, normal, promissory note, a shtar choiv, I owe you $100, Reuven owes Shimon $100. We're talking about that there was an iska, or as they call it today, a heter iska. We learned a lot about this back in Ezeu Neshech, that there are ways that you can go and have a quote-unquote loan, but it should not be considered to be a loan because there is it's an investment. So, for instance, the loiva wants to take the money and use it to go and buy groceries on the wholesale level and then go and sell it on the retail level. So then the investor, that being the malva, can make up a deal with the loiva. This is not going to be just a straight loan and you're going to pay me back the loan $100 in 6 months, with or without ribbis, but rather let's go and put together an investment. So we had a lot about this back in Zoneshech, exactly how you structure it, so it shouldn't be exactly 50-50, because if it's exactly 50-50, that means that the loiva is working for free on behalf of the malva, and therefore that is a hidden form of ribbis, which is prohibited. So therefore it has to be that the hefsid, for instance, the achrayas, is let's say 2/3 on the malva, and he only gets 50% of the profits, then it's considered to be a kosher heteriska, and things similar to that. Anyway, so since the malva therefore is participating in this iska, well, so I would have thought maybe he should have to go and pay for the shtar, or at least participate in the shtar. Says our Mishnah, no, since it's the loiva that's starting this whole thing, and he's the one that wants the money, and yes, he's sharing the investment earnings with the malva in a permissible way, but nevertheless, it's the loiva that's getting the major benefit, he has to pay for the shtar. And then the Mishnah continues, and again, v'chuli, because the v'chuli again is going on, who's paying for the shtar mechira? And the Mishnah said it's the loikeach. because the assumption is that the moicher does not want to sell his property, and he's only doing it because the keach is enticing him by giving him an offer that he cannot refuse. It's the keach that wants to accumulate real estate to be able to make money and all the rest. So Mishnah says it's the keach that has to pay for the shara for the more pshita. I understand that. Even though a moicher typically does not want to give away, does not want to sell his property, but this particular property is not such a great property. Why is it not such a great property? Unfortunately, Rishbam says either has a mum godol shabbat, some major blemish, or maybe it's far away from him. He lives in New York and the property is in California and he's constantly worried to go back and forth and to check it out and make sure the manager is doing a good job. It's a big headache. So the moicher, either chachila b'diavad, is happy to part with this shtar, not with this shtar, with this property. So I might have think he should have to go and pay for the commissioning of the soifer to write the shtar, kabash malon. Still, the most of the benefit is on the part of the lekeach. A moicher does not want to sell his property. He wants to keep that in the business and in the family as long as possible. Right, the Enkois and Shteri Erisin, and the Suan, unless both of them participate, again, it says in the Mishnah, the Chosin pays for it. So it's more pshita. Of course the Chosin pays for it. After all, he's the one that's acquiring. He's like the Lekech in the previous case. Or Isha Niknis B'sholish Drachim. Or Ish Mekadish. So you see that it's the husband that's doing the acquiring. No, Ebazoishi, he should have to pay for it. The Chiddush is what happens if this chosin is ashen atom at chochem, the nichalei lechamulik roivei, that the shver is so happy, he's willing to go and pay much, much more to get such a wonderful chosin, a yirei shemayim atom at chochem. So I would think that maybe the shver should have to go and pay for the writing of the shtaris, kamash malon. Nevertheless, it's still incumbent on the chosin to do all of that. And the Mishnah continues, en koisin shtar erisin, arisus, vikablonis, v'chuli, again, el mizach shenayem, and it's the Oris that has to go and give the schar. Now the question is, what's the chiddush that the Oris is giving the schar? Of course, it's to his benefit. It's rather the owner of the property needs an Oris, needs a kabbalah. But who's getting parnasa that he's going to be able to support himself and his family, etc.? That's going to be the Oris. So what's the difference between Oris and kabbalah? As we discussed it yesterday, Oris is a sharecropper. Kabbalah is the person who has to pay monthly rental payments, but not in money, but in kind, like bushels of wheat and the like. So Bechuli, again, Frank Mark Shita, I would think it's a double pasha. The artist is desperate to have an employment, to have a parnasa. After all, he can go around to 50 properties and each property owner will say, sorry, I already have an artist, I already have workers, I have workers already for the last 20 years. So he is the one that benefits. Of course, he has to write the shtar. It's talking about a situation where the property that he's taking over as sharecropper, that he's renting, is one that has to remain fallow for the next year or two to be able to recharge and regenerate all of its minerals and its nutrients. So I would think that vis-a-vis this oris, he's still not going to have panasa for a year or two because it's going to remain vor. Now, mela and oris, okay, so he doesn't get any profits, but he doesn't have to pay anything because he's just a sharecropper. Kablanz, he has to pay. So presumably he has to pay now too for the right to be able to continue holding this property for the next 10 years. So I would think, another financial burden placing on him that he has to pay for the shtar. Kamash Volano, he has to go and pay for the shtar because after everything is said and done, he has the benefit of this arrangement. So we have the Mishnah Shtari Berurin, and when we discussed it yesterday, we said that the Rishbam said in the Mishnah, Bigmar and Befarish, that in fact there are a couple of pshatim, what means Shtari Berurin? My Shtari Berurin, Hocha Tergimu, Shtari Tainus. Shtari Tainus means that each party writes down their Tainus, in other words, their arguments, on a piece of paper. Both the plaintiff and the defendant, they have write down their Tainus, and there is the equivalent of a stenographer that's writing it down, charges for his or her services. Who has to pay for that? Says in the Mishnah, it has to be written midash ne'em, and they both have to go and pay for the writing of the shtari tainus.
Is this considered edus?
No, not at all.
So what's
what's the purpose of writing it down?
It's like a brief. Would you call it a brief?
Yeah, it's like a brief, exactly. It could be very long, but we call it a brief nevertheless. The reason why they wrote it down, says Rishbam, because we don't want the parties to go and change their arguments. because very often you'll have parties in the courtroom. The plaintiff brings his complaint, and then you have the defendant giving his defense, and then the lawyers for the plaintiff realize, he has a good defense. But I have a good idea. Based on what he just said, we can undermine the argument by saying something a little bit different than adding and subtracting. When I said yes, I didn't really mean that. I really meant something else. They'll massage and manipulate what they said. So to be able to freeze their positions in place and not be able to dreyak up and every day change their minds, that's why they wrote down these types. You look at the Rishbam, Rishbam is about 60% down the Amid, maybe two-thirds down the Amid. Shtori Tainisa. Shnei Sofrei Adiyonim, like two stenographers, Hayikoysen Tanis Anshei Hariv, they would write down the Anshei Hariv, the litigants' positions, Kadeshliyu Ta'anim, V'choizim Ste'an. So they shouldn't say today ABC, and tomorrow they'll say XYZ. This way, V'choizim Tanis, Poiskin Adiyonim Estinim. Now that we know the, as you say, we have the briefs for both parties, they presented to Yonim, the Yonim will say, okay, sayonara, we'll get back to you, they review the briefs. So instead of hearing all of these oral arguments back and forth, and they keep on changing their minds, this kind of freezes in place, and then that allows for an easy adjudication. Not easy, but at least the adjudication of this litigation. So that was shot number one. So now the assumption is that both of these sets of tainus are put together. Brother Shai before said that this each one puts in a brief. That's true. But the way our Gemara is understanding it at this point is that the two briefs are put together onto one document. And this one document now will reflect the arguments of both sides. And we hand it over to the Dianim, and the Dianim will decide who has to pay for the writing down of this multiple brief, or this merged brief. Then the both sides, they have to go and pay for it. That's what the Tanakhama said. We're going to see in a moment Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees, and we're going to get to that in a moment. Rav Yirmei Abba Omar Zeh Bor Li'echad Zeh Bor Li'echad. That's what you call, even modern day terms, Zablu. Because that's Rosh Tevis. Zablu is Zeh Bor Li'echad. Which means beginning of Masech to Sanhedrin, we're going to go and see that if and when there is a litigation, of course, if you have an established Bezin with three Dayanim, that's the best. But what happens if you don't have an established Bezin? What you can do is, the Reuven, the plaintiff, says, I want my dayan to be Rabbi Smith. The Shimon, who happens to be the defendant, says, I want my rabbi to be Rabbi Jones. And then the two rabbis together, or the two parties together, select the third dayan, and with this, they have now a bezin, a panel of three. So therefore, Zeh Bor Li'echad means Reuven writes down, or has his sofer write down a piece of paper, that Reuven selected Rabbi Smith, Zeh Bor Li'echad, and that Shimon selected Rabbi Jones, and this is written down a piece of paper. You're wondering, why do they have to write a piece of paper?
Exactly.
So Rishbam here is silent. The Tosis Rashi, which I don't see here on our Gemara, but Tosis Rashi and others, here has Moisef Rashi, well, in Chesem and Beis. No, doesn't bring it. Anyway, in other Gemaras, they have a Moisef Rashi, a Tosis Rashi, and they bring from a Rashi elsewhere. The Rashi says that the reason is for the same reason that we said about the Shtori Tainasa, that they shouldn't go and change their minds. In other words, today I say Rabbi Smith, he says Rabbi Jones, tomorrow I come back, and I didn't really mean Rabbi Smith, I really meant Rabbi Goldberg. Why did I say Rabbi? And, you know, I had one of those momentary...
brain freeze?
Very good, brain freeze, thank you. And therefore, which I just had now too, and that's the reason why he didn't really mean Rabbi Smith, he meant Rabbi Goldberg. And then the other, I didn't really mean Rabbi Jones, I really meant Rabbi...
McGillicuddy.
Rabbi McGillicuddy. Oh, McGillicuddy, you know what? Goldberg is not good for McGillicuddy. Rather, let's go and take Rabbi, etc. This can go on and on. So therefore, to freeze in place, say, well, yeah, is this one you chose? Yes. Bezin says, okay, done. Rabbi Smith in the next one, so on and so forth. Okay, so we have these two pshatim in the Shtori Berun, either Shtori Tainisa or Zabla. Now, says the Imor of Shem Gamliel, Oimer, Lishneyem Koisin Shnai. In other words, the Tanakhama says you write one document, and both have to pay for the writing of the cipher. Shem Gamliel says you write two documents, Lezeh Ba'atzmai, Ulezeh Ba'atzmai, and each side pays for his document. So you have in the case of the two Shtori Tainisa, like Brother Shai said before, you have the plaintiff's brief, and you have the defendant's brief, and the plaintiff pays for his brief, and the defendant pays for his. Freitimara, what's the machloikis over here? Leim b'koif al-midas adoim kamifligi. Maybe the machloikis is the gabi koif and al-midas adoim. In Now we normally think of midas sedoim in the sense of zeh nehenah v'zeh chaser. Somebody's having hano, the other person it doesn't cost them a penny, and he wants to charge him anyway, like an abandoned apartment that hasn't been used for the last 20 years. Somebody says, you're not using it anyway, if you don't mind, I'll stay there 3 nights. And the landlord says, oh, no, you got to go and pay me. When you got to go and pay me? I'm not, if anything, I'm even improving the apartment. Why? Because they're all mouse droppings, I'm going to clean them up. And the electricity is not working, I'm going to fix it, etc., etc. So, and you, it's been abandoned, you haven't rented it out to anybody anyway in 20 years. So that's the concept of Zenehen of Zele Chaser. And so therefore, if a person insists, no, you got to pay me anyway, then that could be a Midas Sedoim. So now, that's not the Midas Sedoim we're talking about over here. Here the Midas Sedoim is, Rejbam says, if you go back to Pirkei Avos, person who says, Shali, Shali, Shalach, Shalach, what is mine, what's yours is yours. So then, one man the Yama says, that's a Bina Beininess. I mean, that's what you would expect. Yeah, what's mine is mine, yours is yours, I paid for mine, you paid for yours, and never the twain shall meet. Mida Beininess. But V'yesh Amrim Zu Midas Sedoim. No, that's a Midas Sedoim, because a person should be more giving, and shouldn't say, this is mine, it's mine. I'm happy to lend it to you, I'm happy to share it with you, no problem, no, etc. So that's called the Midas Sedoim. So what's the problem over here? The problem over here is, yes, good, you're entitled to take two pieces, okay? Good. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So, Leimakoif Midas Sedoim Kamifri. The Mara Savakoifin. The first man, the Yoma, says over here, what happens if one of the two sides says, if I'm going to be able to keep this Shtari Berurin, that's fine. But if I have to go and pay for it, and I have to share it with the other litigant, forget about it. I can't stand that other litigant. I don't want to share anything with him. I'm not going to pay a penny towards this document. So according to Tanakama says, sorry, whether you like it or not, for the benefit of the Bezdin, we have to go and type up, we have to write up the Shtari Berurin. You have to pay 50% whether you like it or not. And Koifel Midas Adayim, we go and say, whether you like it or not, you got to pay. Says Rav Shimon, no, ain't Koifel Midas Adayim. If the one litigant says, I don't want to have anything to do with the other, I do not want to participate with him in this joint shtar, fine! So each one gets their own shtar. You'll get a shtar tainus, and you'll get a shtar tainus, and each will have to go and pay for his shtar tainus. It's going to be a waste of money, but if that's the way you feel about it, you don't want to share with the other guy, fine. So you pay for yours, he'll pay for his. So the choyer, that would be the machloik. It's ma'asav ha-koifin, ma'asav ha-in-koifin. Tibolai. Tikuli al-ma-koifin. In normal case, yo koifin misadan. V'alchay etam rebshem gamliel di omalei l'nichali t'tehevi s'chusra v'ischusi d'domas eloi ki arye arvo. What does this mean? Says Rebshem gamliel, this litigant who says, I do not want to share the shtari tainus with the other, it's not because this person happens to be naturally mean by nature or a difficult character. He could even be a sweet fellow. But he says, every time I look at that Shtari Tainus and I see the arguments that you're making, I get enraged. I get so upset. Because I know that what you're saying is baloney, it's junk, it's fraud, it's deceptive. And every time my blood boils. That's why they want to use that expression, Namas Aloi. When I read it, you and the document is like Arye Arva, it's like a lion in ambush. Why do we say a lion in ambush? Because he knows that the other guy is lying. And therefore, he's very, very upset at him. And he says, you know, I can share with anybody else, but not with that guy. He's a crook and he's a criminal. So Rav Shem Galil, I understand them, and therefore, write out two separate documents, and each one will pay for his own document.
So when it is, according to the Tanakhama, who keeps this document after the fact then?
Presumably, what are
litigation?
Well, number one, you saw that Rishbam says, so I'm assuming that this Shtari Tainus, after it's signed and sealed, they hand it over to the Bezdin, and the two sides would no longer get involved. But until that point, when each one is, when they're getting...
Composing it?
Not only composing it, but presumably it's given to both sides to review and revise and for comments. Right. I see the other guy's tainus. I get.
See.
That could be. It could also be that before the Dayanim paskin the din, maybe they will do it like a chutzi evet chutzi ben choyrin. He'll have it for Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and he'll have it for Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Somehow or other, they'll have a sharing arrangement. But ultimately, it goes to the bezin. They don't keep it. Okay, so the mishvaita. Nisha parim mitzvah choyvai. Person paid. There was a shtar choyv for $100. and the loiva paid $50. When are you going to pay the other 50? Mitzvah in another month, I'm going to pay the other 50. So what do you do in the meantime? So you could theoretically write out a shoiver. However, it could be in a place where they didn't write shoivrim. Or Rishbam says, are you toyre choylehem lichtoiv shoiver? It was a tircha. Tircha, you have to wait. It also costs money. You know, let's not deal with having to do a shoiver. The best thing is, you cannot leave the shtar with the malva, because then the malva will say, nothing's been paid. You can't leave the shtar with the loiva, because the loiva will say, I'm paid the whole thing. So you leave it with a sholish. The hishlish shtar, you give it to a third party.
An escrow.
In escrow, good. The omaloi, and you tell that third party, imloi, instead of asati, imloi, etein lechom mikan v'adyoin ployni, says the loiva, if I don't pay the other $50 within a month, tell my shtar, you can give him the shtar. Now, when the loiva said that, did he really think even for a moment he wouldn't have the $50 from now for another month? Of course he's going to have the $50. He's going to work overtime. He has friends that he can borrow money from. Baruch Hashem, he's paid off all his other debts. I get $50 in 1 month. This is goodish. So therefore, when he said to the shalish, nothing to worry about, Mitzvah, in another 30 days, this will all be paid off. We'll tear up the shtar and shalom Yisrael. And guess what? He gives man v'loy nasan. Unfortunately, things did not work out that way. There was a temporary COVID spin, or this person got sick, or whatever happened. And therefore, he was not able to get the $50 within the month. And now the month has passed. What happens now? Since the loiva said, if I don't pay, mikadad yuplani, ten lishtar, give the shtar to the malva. He said it. Give it to the malva. And now the malva will hopefully only charge him for 50, but you never know. But just give it to the malva. No, do not give it to the malva. Sholesh, you hold on to it. Why? L'chay Rabbi Yossi is right. After all, that's what he said. He said, if within 30 days I don't pay, give the shtar to the malva. Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold on to it? So that's the famous machlokes you have throughout Shas. The sugya of asmachta.
Yes.
The ma'ikam iflihi. Rabbi Yossi said, asmachta kanya. Rabbi Yehuda said, asmachta loikanya. What does asmachta mean? Asmachta means when a person makes a statement that he says with full conviction and full sincerity, figuring there's no way in heaven or elsewhere that I'm not going to be able to pay within 30 days. Come on, $50 is a good issue, man. My best friend Dario is going to lend me $50 on the spot. I don't have to have any aid. I don't have to have witnesses. He's going to do it. It's no problem. But unfortunately, Dario went to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore I didn't see him for the next 30 days, or something similar. So that's what we call an asmachta. The word asmachta comes from the word soimech, to go and rely. So he, the person who's making this statement, he's relying on his abilities that he's going to be able to go and get together the rest of the loan within the 30 days. But unfortunately, he was not able to get it. So what happens now? Says the Imari, listen, you said it, you meant it, your word is your bond, you got to go and give him the shtar and finish. Why asmachta loy kanya? Because if he would have known that he would not be able to get that $50 in 30 days, if he thought he was 1%, he never would have made the statement. He was just so overly confident. So therefore, if you will, it was not said with the total sincerity. It was only based on his expectations. Exactly. So even though he said it and he meant it, Oblamasa, had he known what the outcome would be, he never would have done it. And therefore, asmacha leka. So how do we pass it? Omer Nachman, Omer Rav, Ravu, Omer Rav, Halacha, Ki Rav Yosi. Exactly. So we pass like Rav Yosi. Ki also the Kamed Rav Ami, Omer Lahu, when they went in front of Rav Ami, and they asked him, Nu, vos halt ir Rav Ami? Chiyach, Eshav Yoichrim Lamdeinu, Pab Rishoinu, Shniya, Halacha, Rav Yosi. Rav Yoichrim was my Rebbe, is my Rebbe, says Rav Ami, and he's drilled into us time and time again. Halacha is Rav Yosi, Rav Yosi says, Asmach Lekanya, Ani Maya, so what can I do? I might personally disagree with the Rebbe, but I can't. I am forced to go and I'm beholden to my Rebbe, to Rabbi Yechon. This is the end of the statement of Rabbi Ami. Now the Gemara continues. However, we do not follow Rabbi Yechon, we do not follow Rabbi Ami, and we do not follow Rav, but the Loch is not like Rabbi Yosi because we hold a smachta loy kanya. And Rishbam even quotes from Barry from four lines at the bottom. That normally shenimukai imai, and normally would pass him. That's machta. However, the halacha is that's machta loikai. If you want to be koyin as machta, the only way is elam kein kadam minei bebezin choshev uber loy honest. if not only he handed over the shtar to the shalish, but they made an accompanying kinyan, kinyan sudr, and he did not in front of just anybody, even in front of Abbas al-Khashib, so therefore it was with all of the trimmings of a majestic type of setting, uber loyonis, and there was no coercion, no duress, all of those tanoim are met, then asmacht is kanyi, but any other case, asmacht loy kanyi. And we go on to the next Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah, Mishnah nimchak shtar choivoy. Person had a shtar choiv. Unfortunately, he left it out in the rain, and the rain did its thing, and now it's mochuk. It is erased. But the malva wants to get paid by the loiva, so what is he going to do now? Apparently, this was shortly after the shtar had been written, so the people still have a good recollection. Mamet Olav Edim, he goes and brings two Edim that know the whole story. Rashbam says, Hayoidim, Meimasai Nichtav, they know all the details. It brings two Edim. Doesn't have
Does
to
that
be
mean they were there or not?
They were there. Doesn't have to be necessarily the Edim that are signed on the shtar. Could be other Edim that were present in the room when the Salva took place and when the shtar Choyv was written. So he brings in two Edim. Ubalafnei Bezin, he comes in front of Bezin. Vo'oisin loy kiyum. And they make a shtar kiyum. Shtar kiyum means they write out a new piece of paper, and on that piece of paper they write that two Edom came, and they told us the following. Ish ploini ben ploini nimchak shtaroi. This Reuven ben Yaakov came in, unfortunately his shtar was nimchak. And b'yoim ploini, on the this and this day, echvayis beis kislev, there was a halva. Uploini uploini Edom, and at that time, there were two Edom that were present and that signed on the shtar, and unfortunately, the shtar was nimchak, but we are re-establishing and reinvigorating the shtar by putting this new shtar together. So they're not saying that this is the original shtar, but this is a, if you will, a shtar kiyum on the original shtar, which is nimchak, where they repeat the essence of what was said initially. Okay, now, in our Mishnah, the Mishnah uses a term that oisin loy kiyum. What's the word kiyum? Normally we think of Bezdin making a kiyum when they're mekayim chasimais. That's not the case. Called a henpek, we had ashrata, exactly. However, here we're not talking about being mekayim chasimais because everything is nimchak. It would appear, if you will, oisin loy kiyum, that the Bezdin does the kiyum. However, Rishbam does not learn like that. Rishbam says it's the Eidim that are mekayim. If you go back to Rishbam here on the bottom, mishin nimchak shtar choivoy me'atzmoy shenetashle shenaflo mayim. Fortunately, it rained, whatever. Mamad of Edom, the person that owns the shtar, he brings Edom to the courtroom. Hayoidim, Emesai Nichtav, when was it written? Umakosabai, what was written in the shtar? The Haim, Haim means these Edom, Oysim Lekim Bifnei Bezdin, they are Mekayim, they go and reestablish what was written in the old shtar. The Koysim Loim Masho Yikosabai, Oysi Ashtar. Then they rewrite what was written in the original shtar, Vahazman, the original Zman, and the moist and the amount of the money. Nimchak shtara, this person came in and he said, my shtar is nimchak. Sheyekosuv, and that shtar was written beyond ploini, originally on Beis Kislev. Uploini, uploini, u'edim, and these were the edim. Sheyechasuv and boy that were signed at the time. Kol zeh koisven elu hamekayimin, these people are mekayim. The kayim are the edim. They're the ones that are reestablishing what happened. The Akachoism and Shemoism aside, and then these two new Edom that are being Mekayim, the history of that old shtar, they now sign at the bottom to show that this is bona fide. That's how our Mishnah learns according to Rishba. However, we're going to bring up Raisa now that the Kiyum is really not done by the Edom, but it's done by the Bezdin, that they are Mekayim. How do you, what's the lashon of the kiyum? The moisit losavina, moisit losavina, we three were sitting together. Anu, who? Pliny, 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 the three rabbis, Rabbi Smith, Rabbi Jones, and Rabbi Mikilakadi. And whilst we were sitting together in the Bezin Shtiebel, in the rabbinic tribunal, hoitzi Pliny ben Pliny shtar mochel lefaneinu, Yankel comes in, he shows a shtar which is totally, totally erased. And what did he say about that shtar mochik? That b'yoyim ploini, on this and this day, Beis Kislev, there was a halva. Uploini ploini edav, and the edim were the Mr. the two edim, Reuven and Shimon. So now, the imkosa boy who's katna leidus and shul edim, if the bezin continues in this kiyum shtar, And they said, we didn't just listen to Yankel tell us this story. Right? Yankel is the person, the Pliny ben Pliny, who came in, really Reuven ben Yaakov, good. Anyway, he came in with the Shtar Mochel Tanenu. He told us the following, that this is the story, and these were the Edom. So now, if the Kiyum of the Bezin continues on, it says, Vimkosov boy, it says, Vaita in this new Shtar, whose Katnu Leidus and Shal Edom. And in fact, we were Huskatnu, who means Huskatnu, says Rishbam, that we inquired of the original Edom. We brought them to Bezin, and we asked them, tell us all the details of what did you sign on, and all that. V'nim says Edus Mechuvenes. And in fact, their Edus is exactly the same as what this Pliny ben Pliny said. Pliny ben Pliny said it was on Monday morning. Yeah, it was on Monday morning. But it was for $100. Yeah, $100. Do you remember any other details? Yes. Reuven was Shimon both there. It was 8:30 in the morning. It was right after the Daf. And we signed at the bottom. So if you see that everything is Mechuvon, then based on this brand new shtar that the Bezin is now signing and sealing, yo, goive, he can be goive, and the Rishbam, although the Rishbam doesn't say it explicitly, but from the Rishbam is mashi, we can goive even from the mishubotim. So even though the original shtar is worthless, it's basically all nimchak, however, by reestablishing and regenerating the new shtar, and why do I say that you can go and collect the mishubotim? Because Rishbam says on the first, the last of the wide lines, another fourth line, goive mizman rishon akosim bishtar. You can be goive from the zman rishon. What do you mean? I mean goive zman rishon. I mean goive from today. Today I'm bringing the shtar to Bezin and malva pay me. I mean sorry, loive pay the malva. What means mizman rishon? Zman rishon means that we have reestablished the shtar from the original zman. So who cares? Who cares what we got? The lekuchais. Any lekuchais that bought or sold properties during this interim period of the original shtar till this new shtar of today, he's not going from the shtar of today. Because today, many of the properties may have already been sold or whatever, liquidated. Because Zman Rishon, Zman Rishon a month ago, a year ago, he still had a whole bunch of properties prior to selling them to others. So the Malva would have a lien on all of those properties. So you see,
why does the Mishnah use the example of Nimchag instead of Nisraf? I mean, it feels like there has to be some...
It's a good question. See, if you wait another three lines, we'll deal with that in the
okay.
So in the meantime, given the Tzarech Lavi, right, doesn't have to bring any other right. The Imlav, however, if the Bezin does not write Huskatnu Leidus and Shaleidim, so we're just rewriting what Ploini ben Ploini told us, and Tzarech Lavi Raya, then you're going to have another right, because the Loivim may say, what this Malva said is all baloney. This was the Shtar Nimchak, which you cannot read. I don't know what it was written on it, but it didn't, there was no shtar choiv. I didn't borrow any money. I didn't lend any money. I don't know what you're talking about. So then you'd have to have two independent edim to go and prove that in fact there was a shtar and there was a choiv, and then the loiv will have to pay. Now continues the brisa. So that's the only thing I just want to note. Therefore, that is that the brisa seems to be a little bit different than the mishnah, because the mishnah seems to be that the edim are the mekayimim, while the brisa says that it's the bezin that's mekayim. And Tosis already has a machloikis about this back on Kuf Samaches Omer Aleph, the second Tosis before the end, Mamed Olav Edim. You'll see the last two lines, says Rishbam, says the Tosis, the Kiyum Hashtar Oisin Bezdin. The Bezdin makes the Kiyum, like we said here on the Omer Beis, that Ezel Kiyum Oid Bemoisir Klas Adin. However, Veloikibish Rishbam Sha Edim Oisin Oisin, because we saw the Rishbam that says that the Edim make the Kiyum. It's a machloikis. Anyway, getting back to, obviously the Rishbam could read the Gemara over here, so it must be that he holds that there's a machloket between the Mishnah and the Braisa as to what means Kiyum. Does it mean the Edom Makayim or it means the Bezin Makayim? Getting back to our Gemara, and this is when it was Nimchak. Now what happens if it's Nikra? Nikra means it was a torn shtar. Impossible. And the shtar is possible because there's a good assumption that in fact
it was paid in Lova Torah.
Exactly, that's why they tore it. However, Niskareya, if it was torn differently, then it's kosher. What's the difference between Nikra and Niskareya? The Gemara will address that in two more lines. But let's get back to Barry's question before. He asked, why do we talk about Nimchak? Why don't we say Nisrav? Nimchak oy Nitashtesh im Rishum oy Nikr is kosher. There are times that a Nimchak can be reestablished. How? Even though it's taken nimchak, but if you put it under a good lighting, or you put it under a microscope or something like that, maybe you could figure out Rishum and Iker. Then it's correct. If the Bezdin is able to be able to reestablish the terms by concentrating and going over it again and again and again, then it's kosher, even though you don't see any of the text easily, but still Rishum and Iker is good. So that perhaps is the reason why the Mishnah and the Braisa talked about Nimchek, to tell us this Knech, that if it wasn't totally Nimchek, there's still a Rishum Nikr, it's kosher. Now, Freit Yemara, you just said, now Nikra, Niskareya, kosher. These are identical terms, synonymous terms. Hey, Lam Nikra, Lam Niskareya, Om Rabbi Huda. Nikra, Kereshel Bezdin. Oh, Bezdin tore it up. Niskareya, Kereshel, Enishel Bezdin. Freit Yemara, what's the definition? Hey, Kedomi, Kereshel Bezdin. And what's the definition of Kereshel, Enishel Bezdin? Om Rabbi Huda, Mokim Eidim, Mokim Hazman, Mokim Atoyrev. Look where it's torn. Bezdin's going to make sure to go and tear the essential parts of the document. They're not going to go and tear through the boilerplate, what the Gemara calls the toifes. They're going to go and cut through the toirev. In fact, it says Edom, Zman, and toirev. On the surface, it could mean all three. And the Meforshim talk about whether the Gemara means tafka, all three dafka, that we have to go and tear it such a way that it goes through all three, or make multiple tiers to go through all three, or does it mean any one of these? Because each one of these is so important. The Edom, the Zman, and the Torah, maybe only need one out of the three, not all out of three. And the Mefarshim talk about that. Abai Omar, Abai says, Shesiv Erev means that you go and tear it both horizontal and vertical, like you would want if you wanted to ever tear up a piece of paper and you want to be very definite about it. You tear it one direction, the other direction, and you make at least four pieces out of it, and you know, this is a Nikra Al Yidei Bezin, and that's why it's now possible. However, any other type of kara could be it got caught on somebody's, you know, jacket, on the seat, on the table, on a nail somewhere, and that's how it got torn. So if it wasn't a Bezin Dika Kriya, and you can tell that there seems to have been a mistake or an accident, so then the shtar is still kosher. So now the Gemara tells us a story. Hanu Arvoi. Arvoi over here means Arabs. Rishbam says Yishmaelim. So also Pabadisa. They came to Pabadisa. And when they came to Pabadisa, they didn't come to learn Torah by one of the Amiroim, but rather they came to steal, unfortunately. And they were throwing people out of their properties and grabbing the properties for themselves. But not only that, as we'll see from the Gemara in a moment, not only did they go and take people and expel them from their properties, but they also made sure to get hold of the documentation showing that this property belonged to the original owners, so that the original owners shouldn't afterwards come to court and try to get their properties back. So they not only took away the properties, it also took away all the documents, the bill of sale, the bill of transfer, everything identifying that these properties belong to these balabat. Also Marvatai. Marvatai means other owners of properties in Pumpadisa, seeing the writing on the wall, they were afraid that they'll be the next victims. They came in front of Abaya, and they said, Omrulei, they said to Abaya, Lechzi mar shtore, do me a favor, here are our original shtores, read them and do us a favor. Please go and write a second shtar like the first shtar. Today, of course, they would go and make copies with using a copying machine. But apparently they didn't have copying machines in those days. And so therefore they asked the buyer, could you allow for the soifer to go and write a second shtar, a duplicate of the version? Why do we want those duplicates? He missed this. Chad naktinon chad biyotan. What happens if the Arabs come to us and do the same thing, not only take away the property, but they take away the documentation? At least we'll have another set of documents for ourselves to be able to go and show in the future. Amalahu, my avalahu, I would love to help you, says Abaye, but I can't. Diyom Rav Safra, en koysa shnei shtoris al sode achas. You wonder why he got the name Safra, perhaps having to do with something Hilcha Safras. But anyway, he says that you cannot go write two shtoris on one sode. In other words, even though Reuven sold and transferred the property to Shimon, we only give Shimon one copy of a shtar, we don't give him two copies. Why, what's the problem? Because maybe he's going to be toyrif twice. When is he going to be toyrif twice? What happens if eventually this person, this lokeach, bought a property? And Anytime you buy a property, typically you have a chrais in it, even a chrais to a soifer. And what happens now? What is that a chrais? And just in case this property is taken away from me by, for instance, a balchoif, a creditor, because there's a lien on the property. You, the owner, are going to have to pay me back. Or I'm going to have to go and be torah from other properties that the owner owns. Why didn't the other guy go to the other properties? Because he, this was more convenient for him, this is closer, this is a nicer property, whatever cheshbonus he had. So now the lekeach wants to be able to go and be torah from other properties. So what happens if this taka happens? A balchoiv comes, takes away his property. Now he has a shtar, and he goes to one of the kuchas and says, "Lekuchas, I have bad news for you. However, my property was taken away. Here is the Bezdin's warrant to go and take away the Bezdin. The Ashrata we had, yes, not the Ashrata, the Adrachta, whatever. Anyway, it was taken away. And this is my proof that the property belongs to me. Here you see the shtar." So that other real estate owner, property owner, is going to be upset, but he's not going to have any choice. He's going to have to go and cough up that property. And guess what happens? If the homeowner over here is not an erlich, is not an honest fellow, he may go to a second person and say, "Yeah, you see the adracht of the Bezdin, they took away my property, and here I have my shtar, this is mine," and therefore he'll be toyed if he had a second time. Although, hopefully nobody will do that, but because of that concern, you don't give a person two shtaris on the same field, the same
Can't you stuff. Specify in the duplicate, this is a duplicate to
The original,
because of the danger of gangsters coming and seizing the property. If you document the purpose of the duplicate, then it's not a live check.
It sounds like a good etza, but for some reason this was not. The Gemara didn't deal with it, and they didn't say that. Anyway, so it said, "Abai, I'm sorry, I can't help you because in case you showed." So now have a kotor delay, and they were nudging him and pestering him. Rishbam says, "Hifzirum, mafzirin boy." In other words, they urge him, "Abaya, this is real. This is real life stuff. This is not theoretical. Across the street, all the property has been taken away. We're the next guys on the block. They're going to take all of our properties away. Please make an exception. Figure out a way." So said Abaya, "Omli the safri." Abaya said to Seifer, "Zuv ksuiv lehu, go and write a new shtar like they have requested. However, write it who ala machak." The aid of Halaniyar, the apostle, write out a new shtar. However, write it on machak on top, where was the page was machuk, and then have Adam sign on the yar. We had this already a few days ago.
Right.
That if the thing is written on machak, then it's possible. So they hopefully will be pacified. They have now a new copy of the shtar. But Rav Safra won't be upset because the second shtar is worthless, but at least they'll stop bothering me. So, although the Gemara didn't spell it out, but it apparently, the assumption was on the part of Acha bar Minyumi that when he told the Sofer, write out a shtar and write on the Mechika, what he meant is, take a clean piece of paper. On that clean piece of paper, go and write out the shtar word for word like they have requested, because after all, we want them to be happy. Go and write it all out. Then after that, and have the Edom sign on the bottom. After that, go and be moichik the top part, and rewrite the shtar a second time. Since it's going to be written on the machak, and
flawed.
The Edom on the door, it's possible no good. It says now, Rav Ach ben Yumi, what happens if you bring this to a bezin, who are able to, with forensic evidence and microscopes and this and that, they're able to see the original writing underneath, and they're going to go and be mekayim the shtar based on the original writing. So the Bezin will say, "This is a good start. Ignore the fact that there is this second writing on the Mechak. We can read the original Nimchak." And therefore there'll be Machshir the Shtar based on the original writing, and then Rav Safra will be upset because Rav Safra says, "Are there two shtaris going out now on..."
Thank you.
You're very welcome. "Two shtaris going out now on the same property," and Rav Safra says, "You're not allowed to. Isn't that a problem?"
The buyer who's trying to defraud who here? We have two shtars that was, this was, the property was owned by Reuven.
Right.
And then there's a, and Reuven has a creditor, has a somebody he borrowed, he's the Loba.
And?
And now someone's trying to Zalba wants to foreclose on this property.
Who wants to foreclose?
The Malka.
Good.
So what are we worried about now? So he's going to foreclose. He's going to take the property back. Nothing to do with this Arab guy.
Right.
And now we have a second star. And what's going to? It's in Reuven's possession.
Okay. So let me explain. Let's go back. I said it very quickly, so we're happy to go and review it again.
Oh, good.
We have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven sold the property to Shimon. And he gave him two counterpart stories, which are identical, signed and sealed by the same Edom, and sealed by the best. Okay, so now he has, just in case he loses one of the two stories, he has two. It's always good to have an extra one. One I'll put in the safe, one I'll put in my drawer, etc. So far, so good. But a year later, Reuven had a Bal Choyv, person that Reuven owed money to. Reuven, unfortunately, was on hard times. That's why he was selling his properties. And he had borrowed money from Yankel. Okay. Yankel comes on the maturity date and says, Reuven, no, you got to go and pay me back on my choif. Reuven says, sorry, I have no properties left. What do you mean I have no properties left? I remember very, very well that at the time that we took the halva, you had a dozen properties. That was history. I don't have any properties left. Okay. Can you give me a list of the properties? Sure, you can look it up in the registry, but yeah, one over here on 91st Street, one on 90th Street, one on 89th Street, and 88th Street. Sure. So what does the Bal Choyv do? He picks out the one of Shimon, who lives on 91st Street, he takes away that property. Fair and square, nothing wrong with that. I mean, unfortunately for Shimon, but Lamasa, the Bal Choyv has now been paid in full, Bal Choyv goes home happy, and we're done. Shimon now says, goes to Reuven and says, you know, there's a money back guarantee in the shtar. I bought the property from you. You got to go and pay me back. Reuven says, I have no money. If I had money, the Bal Choyv wouldn't have come to you to pay the Bal Choyv. Okay. Do you still have that list of properties that you gave? Sure, I have my list of properties. Fine. Because when I bought the property from you, all those properties were still owned by you. And so therefore, the money back guarantee that you gave me in my shtar is a lien on all those other properties. So now Shimon goes and takes the original shtar that shows that he owns this property. He takes also proof from Bezdin that they took away his property to give it to the Bal Choyv, and now he goes to the guy who lives on 90th Street and says, 90th Street, remember, I used to own the 91st Street. Well, what happened? You sold it? I wish I sold it. Somebody took it away from me. Only it feels so bad. Well, don't feel so bad. You have to cough up your property now to me. Why? Because I have a lien on your property for the money back guarantee.
It's a domino.
Hey, what can I do? What can you do? And so the 90th Street person hands over the property. Fine. What do we do that first shot? We tear it up. Done. Now he still is retaining the second shot. Now he goes to the 89th Street guy. He said, did you hear the calamity that happened? What happened? They took away my... Who took away your property? The Bal Choyv took away.
Twice in the same foreclosure. The Achrayus now has basically two checks that he can cash for the same...
He's going to try to go and collect on that Achrayus twice. Both from the 90th Street guy and from the 89th Street guy. And if the 89th Street guy doesn't know that he already collected from the 90th Street guy...
He'll cough up and soak it in.
Exactly. Oh, so that's what we're concerned about, that Shimon is going to collect twice. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And the reason why you have difficulty understanding it is because of your honesty and integrity. You can't even imagine that somebody would have these types of cruel and crooked thoughts. Am I right? Obviously. Anyway, so getting back to... Shall you agree? So it's unanimous.
Agree.
Of course, you see. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, Freiti Gemara, if Abaya commissioned the Sofer to go and write out the shtar and write it out word for word like the original, that was basically they took the first one and they were and the second one, and then he said bimochik it and rewrite it, said Rav Minyumi, or who was it?
Yeah,
Rav Acha Bar Minyumi, thank you, said to Abaya, maybe Rishumi Nikar, maybe you'll bring this to a new Bezin. The Bezin will be able to say, you know what? If we erase the new writing, we can still see the Roshim from the first writing. And they're going to therefore say that that first shtar is a kosher shtar. And now, in addition, they have their original stories. This will be a violation of what Rav Safra says. And kosher shtar is also the achas, the matarev, the matarev. Amalei, so Abaya answered, you didn't understand me. When I said that they should write out and then be mochik and then write out the shtar a second time, me kaminish shtarim aliyah. You think that I wanted them to write the first time the shtar word for word like the original shtar, and then be moichik it, and then rewrite it? Nah! Aleph beis ba'al mokam mina. just right over there, any type of shtusim, right? Rishbam says, Dvorm b'teilem amartil lichtev alimchay. Right over there, Trump should have won, he should not have won, and by what percentage in the electoral college, and the blah, blah, blah. Or do you think that the Knicks are better, or the Yankees, or the Mets? Mm-hmm. Write out whatever you want, all types of Dvorim B'Talim. Now it's been fully written on. Now be Moichik the whole thing. And now write the new star for these Marvata from Pumbedisa. And if, in fact, we show Menikas, you'll see that we wrote about the Knicks with the Yankees, but we didn't write anything of substance. So Zoy Ati Gimori Gizot, and therefore, no cop. That's the end of that story. Tana Rabban, Harishabovi Omar Ovid Shtarchev. Now we're not talking about Nimchak. He said, I lost it. Can't find my Shtarchev. Av Visha Omru Edom, even if Edom come and say, Yanu Kasav, Nu Vichasam, Nu Vinasasan Uloi, and therefore what he's telling you about this Choyv is absolutely true. It was $100, it was a Monday morning, and it was Beis Kislev, and it was a dumb, but dumb, but dumb, but dumb. Ain't Kosel Reyes a Shtar. You don't write out a Shtar for him. Then why don't you write out a Shtar? For obvious reasons, because given what happens if subsequently he finds the old shtar, or maybe he wasn't even telling the truth. Maybe he had the shtar all along, but now he wants to have two shtars. Mm-hmm. So now says, don't write out a second shtar. The medvar mamur b'shtar halva. Shtar halva is obvious, right? The first shtar says, Reuven owes Shimon $100, and now you're going to come to Bez and say, I can't find my shtar. Shimon says, Reuven owes me money, can't find. Write a second shtar, so he'll be able to collect twice for the same choy. So don't write a second shtar. That I understand perfectly. That's the issue that we dealt with until now. A shtari mekachum emker, that I own this property, I can't find my property bill of sale and all that. That you could rewrite, but write chutz min achrayis shabai, which is similar to the idea that you were giving before. Not to go and say that the reason why we're writing this is because there are ganavim and arabim that want to take it away, but rather go and write in the new shtar, chutz min achrayis shabai. No money back guarantee. In other words, even though if according to Man Yemat holds achrayis toy sofer, you don't have to write an achrayis. It's implied.
But if you write no achrayis explicitly, exactly. In capital letters, bold print, underlined.
And what are the bold letters print? If you look at the last two lines of the Rishbam, he brings from Gemara tomorrow that you write shtore denan dekos v'noyi, this shtar that we wrote, the loy lemigvi bay loy nemishabdi v'loy nemechari. This is not a collection document. This is just an evidentiary document, and this belongs to this individual. But you cannot use this at all for trying to collect from anybody else. For that, you have to get another shtar. You have to get edim. That's not this. So therefore, this man Yama says shtar mekachomem koisvin chutz min achrayis. Shem gamliel loy af shtar mekachomem ker ein koisvin. You cannot write. What is this all about? Says Rishbam. Normally, what happens if one party decides, I don't want to go through with the transaction? What happens if they already made the kinyan? He already conveyed the shtar, so he'd have to go make a counter kinyan. This man, the Omer, Shimon Gamliel, holds Oisius Niknis B'Masira, which means all you have to do is give back the original document. And the deal is over.
Reversed.
You don't have to go and make a brand new kinyan and whatever. You don't have to write a new shtar and saying, I'm giving it back, I'm selling it back. Just by handing it over, we're done. So now the problem is, by this shtar mekachum emkar, what happens if, in fact, you had Reuven and Shimon? And Reuven went and sold Shimon the property for $100, whatever. And he paid him. And then a minute later, changed my mind. Give him back the money, give back the shtar. The deal is over, and nothing happened. What happens if you write out a shtar for him, a second shtar, even if you write chutz min achrayis shabai, he'll go and say, it's my property. Shimon won't go and try to be goy mim bnei chorin or mim mishubadim. He'll just refuse to hand the property over to Reuven, or he'll try to expel Reuven from the property and take over. So therefore, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, don't write it, even with this statement, chutz min achrayis shabai, not good, because maybe in fact he's not the owner and he was never the owner. Maybe he was owner for 1 second. Look at the top of Shvam. Shimon Gamliel Oimer. The Svirlei. Oh, you see, his nickname's been Messir. It'll come on. Like we'll learn Mitchum tomorrow. Kam Matana. Just like Matana that Yimar said. The Chayshin and Dilmul Achshe Kosloi. Vinosloi Shtar. Ha Mechira. Hesloi Lekech Zelamoichas Shtar. Vechozoloi Mekhoi. Kidamrin and Kam Matana. The Matana, we have exactly the same thing. Well, we have a Machloikis in the Gemara, which we ran through quickly. Choz Matanos, if you hand it back, the matan is over the fires to come. We'll see Mitzvah tomorrow on the other days. While matanos and kayamis, Elim Kain. when would you say that you can reverse the transaction? Emchazar umachra oynasale bekinyan gamur oymishdar chadash kiden lekeach umaycher. The only way that you can reverse it is if you start all over again with a new mechira. I paid you 100. I give it back to you for 100. 101. Or nasale bekinyan gamur medagansa kinyan oymishdar chadash kiden lekeach umaycher. So back to the Gemara. Shem gamil oymer afshtari mekachum emchazar. Ain't don't write it down. Even with this loss in the chutzpah of Chayyish, don't do it, because maybe a second after the closing, he gave it back. If he gave him a matana, so you don't have to worry about he paid the money, no, that you just gave him a matana. Chozer matanos, and the matana is over, because Chayyish is Nicholas of Basira.
Just write the last piece quickly.